Good afternoon. We're going to call this meeting of the TRPA Ad Hoc Executive Director Search Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, September 28, 2022. The time is 20 after 4. First item on the agenda is the roll call to determine the quorum. Tracy?
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Mr. Honigman?
Here.
Mr. Yates? Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Ms. Oldeen?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. I'll now go over the remote and in-person meeting rules for the day. For the members of the public who are joining us remotely, to observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov. Under the calendar header, click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for September 28th, 2022. There you will find a link to the public webinar hosted on Zoom. To address the committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members, we have none, so I will bypass that. No need to comment further. Members of the public who have joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment, and you will be called on to the front to speak. Committee members who are in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment and speak clearly into the microphone in front of you. If you are viewing the webinar on a personal computer, please ensure that your microphone and speakers are turned off to prevent audio feedback into the room. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. John, any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Madam Chair.
Okay, then we will deem the agenda approved as posted. Approval of minutes, which is agenda item number 2. We have a set of minutes from the July 27, 2022 meeting, which appear on page 91 of your packet. Do any members of the committee wish to make a change to these minutes? Excuse me for this moment. I believe I do. Hang on. Goodness gracious. What a surprise. Sorry, John. I'm compulsive that way. I'm just looking for, I thought I had made a notation. Apparently not. Apparently those minutes were just perfect. So, seeing no suggested changes to the minutes, I will entertain a motion to approve, or can't we just deem them approved as, we'll just deem them, speed up the process and deem them approved as posted.
The legal counsel was out of the room.
So I know exactly. He's walking in, but he overheard the conversation. Next item on the agenda is agenda number 3, item number 3, status report and recommendation on executive director interviews from the Proffman Company. As a reminder to the public, after board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in person to be called on or in Zoom to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. At this point, I will pass the mic over to Angela Etchley, our Human Resources Director. Angela?
Good afternoon. Thank you. Steve Worthington, Executive Recruiter with the Proffman Company, is here this afternoon to provide an update on the recruitment for the Executive Director position. And Steve will report on his findings, discuss his process, the candidate screenings, and explain his recommendations, as well as facilitate the committee's process for selecting the finalists by the ad hoc committee for approval to move to the governing board for a final interview and selection. So Steve, if you'd like to go ahead and proceed with your comments.
Thank you very much, and Angela, thank you for the introduction. And I appreciate being in front of the committee today with a slate of candidates for you to consider. So I wanted to provide a little bit of context about what we've done, how we've got here, and then we'll, after a little discussion on that, I would like to introduce each of the candidates to you. I think the opening comments will help frame that introduction a bit, if I could, please. With that in mind, then, we went through a rather extensive outreach process to engage folks that you had indicated wanted to get opinions from. Of course, we talked to each of the board members, as you recall. I had Zoom interviews with each one of those, and also each one of the members. I also spoke with key representatives of certain staff groups. These were sort of self-selected staff members, and they represented the executive team. They also represented the administrative team and the technical work team, all had gathered some information and shared that with me as well. In addition to that, we did a survey, and you have in your materials for today comments from those surveys. In total, we did 17 stakeholder surveys. The survey was identical for each one of these groups, but there were 17 stakeholders, there were 65 staff members, virtually the entire staff, and then the 21 members of your planning commission were each contacted and offered an opportunity through the survey. From that survey, you'll see there are certain word frequencies that we've identified, both in a word cloud, as it's called, and then also as the number of times, let's say, the word collaboration was used, which was one of a very common comment. And so that carries more weight as we work with these things and look at that. The board, the staff work interviews, all of that developed certain themes. And those themes were reflected in our profile, but they were also used by me in questions that were developed and asked of each of the interview candidates. The themes include such things as management and leadership of the agency, experience with previous board relations or supporting a board, alternatively or in addition, supporting elected officials in their capacity, and then building external relations with key partners. So that partnership management, relationship management was all a very common theme that I heard from virtually all of the board members and others, along with being able to be politically adept. And this is what I think of, and often use the term, it's small T politics. It's not about party, it's about community and how you negotiate those for the politics of community. And so that was also one of the things that I asked in the interview process. The position profile is a major piece of work. We use that to focus everyone's attention. In that, you'll find the minimums listed there. You will also, which is say the minimum requirements, and you'll find some other materials as well. At the moment, I have a little computer issue I need to figure out. So excuse me for just a second. Otherwise,
I'll buy Steve some time. Everything he's talking about is in the packet you got. And when we're all through with the candidates, I wanted to run through a few logistics with you, Madam Chair, on interview days, locations, who gets invited to what. I stalled as much as I can, Steve.
Well, you stalled just perfectly because it's cleared now, but it wasn't about 10 seconds previous to that. So cool. So, excuse me, but thank you for the help. Appreciate it. I do need to get back up to where I want to be now. The screening process itself, I conduct a 45-minute, approximately 45-minute Zoom-style interview with the candidates. In that, I ask about a dozen questions. I gave you the theme of many of those questions. There are some other questions that are just standard for me that I always ask, virtually always ask, or almost always ask. And they just are key indicators that I happen to prefer. Let's see, have we distributed this piece yet? Okay. Wanted to also include with you this sheet that was just recently passed around. It's a single sheet. It's a matrix of sorts. And I included this. It's actually an internal document that really I just use for myself. However, the way this search has gone, in a few minutes I'll explain in a little more detail, this may be helpful. It's a way for you to look at the 28 candidates and capture a little bit of their background, where they're from, what their experiences are, and what their education is. It's fairly simply said. It uses some initials as indicators of what who the individual is. And I wouldn't call it a scoring sheet exactly, but for me, this is how I help sort the candidates. Those that have in that last column have a why, those are the people that I screen. That's to say, yes, I'm going to screen that person. And that's to say, I have a screening interview that I was describing at 45 minutes or so. You may want to have that handy as we carry on our conversation. let's see, with that, I produced written notes of my interviews and use that to summarize the materials. And in most cases, those are available. Today is a little different. And so I do want to talk about that. and explain that I don't have written notes for you of in this particular process. What I do have is a opportunity to tell you about each candidate and to verbally share some details with you about them. And I'll explain that. So obviously we're in an open public meeting, as is the requirement. That is, in the process of selecting candidates for interviews, it's a little unusual. And the usual process, so that's a bit more common, would be an open public meeting or available meeting somewhere in the final interview process, perhaps the entire process. But to have it at the selection period is a little different. And frankly, our candidates weren't expecting that. And so what they really usually see is an opportunity to present the materials for someone or various people to go through those materials in a more private setting and identify who they wish to interview and then go through a more public interview process. So having when that became evident, we reached out to the 8 people that I interviewed, and we made them aware that this process was going on, and that because we wanted to be open and transparent with them, of course, and didn't want them to have some issues. As you can appreciate, you might put some people may, and I think most people will, put a job application out to see if there's some interest before they talk to the boss, before they have the difficult conversation saying, I'm looking elsewhere, and all. That's a risky conversation. And until they know that there's some reciprocal interest, it's a little early for that. And so that's basically has gotten in the way in certain respects. So we have made an opportunity for those candidates to evaluate if they want to have that conversation. And we've also tried to minimize their exposure until they've had a chance to see if there's reciprocal interest. With that in mind, today what we're planning on doing is to talk about each candidate using their first name, to talk about their employment experience without reference to their employer, but to the type of agency and work that they've done and the length of time in the last 10 years, using about a 10-year horizon of recent work. Let's see. We've, as I said, contacted the 8 people I interviewed. One of those people decided not to proceed. The other 7 agreed to proceed with the understanding their name would be mentioned, but their materials would not be released in a public venue at this time. So that's sort of the ground rules that we've evolved as the process has come through. And at this point, no, as I just said, no candidate has given permission to publicly provide their application materials. That brings us to the next step.
While you're wrestling with your computer, mm-hmm. Steve, I'm assuming that during the course of the interviews that all candidates were asked precisely the same questions.
Yes.
Even though you had knowledge of some of their prior experience, you didn't expand your questions to include questions relevant to that experience so that you can evaluate them all equally based on their answers?
Yeah. No, they were all asked essentially the same questions, almost exactly the same questions. I will vary the words a little bit just so it sounds fresh, but it is always the same questions. Mm-hmm. And thank you for that clarification. So I wanted to, if there aren't any questions about where we are in the process at this point, wanted to talk about how you might approach inviting or considering who to invite to interviews. So my suggestion would be to be as inclusive as possible, look for ways to invite people. If there is the possibility that this person might be a good match, then I'd encourage you to take that step forward with them. I would also say that I do strongly encourage you to invite at least 3 people to interview. And the reason for that is it is very common currently for people to accept an invitation for interview and then drop out as the date approaches for whatever reason. If you have only 2 interview candidates and one of them drops out, the whole dynamic of that interview changes. And the public's perception of that interview can also change too. It is a more straightforward approach, I think, that is more durable for you, if you don't mind that term, if you have at least 3 candidates. And you could have as many, in my view, as five candidates. Each one has a certain cost for transportation, but otherwise most of your costs are fixed. And so I know you want to be careful about agency funds, and that's important, but I just wanted to offer that trade-off to you. So I would say 3 to 5 candidates would be a good target for you. Talked about inclusion, and we will have, for the final candidates, the finalists that you select today, with their permission, those materials will go through a public process. We will also have releases from them. We do not have releases today. And we will have their approval to contact people for reference checks. They provide to Proffman the names of individuals, and we do reference checks contacting them directly. And then we provide the write-up or notes, or that's almost verbatim, from those conversations for your review. You'll have those in hand when the final interview comes. There is one exception, and when you have an internal candidate, we have found references from coworkers in an internal candidate format sometimes are problematic. There just can be a difficulty in getting clear, clean information in that setting. We have just figured over time it's best just to step away, because frankly, you have, as an agency, with an internal candidate, you have a very specific opinion already, and you've had years of experience with an individual. So the reference issue as a coworker may not be carry the same value. But otherwise, we request from candidates 3 peers for references, 3 supervisors for references, and 3 subordinates. Not everyone is able to produce that. Sometimes the subordinate, peer, or supervisor doesn't quite make it in time. And that's just the realities. But I mention that now because you'll probably see that later. Okay, with all of that, I think if you're ready, I'm ready to start talking about our candidates. Does that work?
Yeah, thanks, Shelley, and thanks for the presentation. I just want clarification on, mm-hmm. on the matrix. And it sounds to me that it's just sort of a guiding document. The reason why I'm bringing it up is, as a department level director in Nevada, I often get asked the question, what's the difference between the Department of Natural Resources and the California Natural Resources Agencies? And a lot of it just use different terminology. So under me, I have the Division of Forestry, which is a department in California, which is also under CNRA or Cal Fire. And so a department level director, it means a lot of different things depending on what state you live in, whether you're local or federal. Or so I'm kind of curious on how that fits in.
Sure. It absolutely does. And as you're going to find, some of these folks are department directors that may have hundreds of employees within their span of control, and others will have a handful of employees within their span of control. There, it does absolutely mean different things. And I, in this simple matrix, again, I use it just for deciding who to invite to my screening interviews. It doesn't capture that, but in my own review, in my mind, if you will, I have some other details I reference.
So it's not necessarily part of the rubric that you're a department level director, because again, that means different things, right. But it's part of the calculation. And we will have more information if that is part of the calculation regarding,
yes, you will,
what that means or what department it is.
Mm-hmm. How much weight or context and what the match is. In fact, I believe we'll have that. You'll hear that in the next hour or so.
Okay. Cindy?
Mine's a real quick question, Steve. I had received an email from somebody who pays attention to TRPA, who mm-hmm. felt that that your recruitment process didn't go out far and wide, and obviously it did. Can you mm-hmm. remind me again of what you did to recruit for this?
Thank
just
you,
real quickly for the rest if the public.
Absolutely. Watching. I love that question, and I'd be happy to review what we did. So we did a variety of placement ads where we're buying ads or placing listing services. Many of those, about 10 of those were related to what's referred to as conservancy and landscape groups, if you will, or associations that I believe your agency is generally well acquainted with. We had quite a few others. And let me get to my list that's included here. APA, meaning the American Planning Association, both the National Association, the California and Nevada chapters, National Association of Regional Councils, Association of Metropolitan Councils, I mentioned about the landscaping entities. I've used that as a generalized term, generic term. And there is what looks like about a dozen or so there. A variety of municipal management associations, Western League of Cities, International City Managers Association, Careers in Government, which is a widely circulated governmental job board, if you will, the job board. Profman operates its own job service and website, and that has quite a bit of traffic. In total, we mailed 977 direct mail announcements. We had 29,280 email contacts. Now, some of those repeat contacts. We feel you need to hear the message three times before you might read it. So, and also, that's the total number at 29,280. We also have some more detailed counts from our work with LinkedIn and Facebook, where we have both the number of links, the times hit, and then responses back. Those metrics are not jumping up at me right now, though, but just to let you know, we did do that, and we do have some details about that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the question.
Any further questions by members of the committee before we proceed? Okay, all right.
Anything else before we talk about candidates? Okay. So, of the eight candidates, there are five that I'm recommending you consider for interview. I'll review those five first. So, and I'm giving to you them to you in no particular order. So, assumes that. Okay. Let's see. So the first candidate to talk about is Becky. Becky has an AICP, which is the American Institute of Certified Planners. It's a certification that is earned. It's, I some often tell people, it's similar to a CPA, only dealing with professional planning. She has a master's in city and regional planning from the University of Pennsylvania, BS in historic preservation from Missouri State. She works for a regional planning commission and a transportation study group, which those together, or in one form or another, are an MPO for a fairly good sized region. There are, these are two sister organizations that operate under the same umbrella, but have different responsibilities. Becky is the executive director for that, for one of those, and she is the secretary for the other, as I believe the bylaws have certain provisions for officer duties. So and she's been doing that since 2013, so essentially 9 years. That seemed a long enough reach back in terms of employment history on this one for a quick summary. Here's, when I asked Becky about what her relevant experiences are, she says, I'm originally from Central Illinois, Springfield. My father was an elected official for a time, got that very early and ingrained sense of public service. I feel great about it because I'm able to give something back. It feeds my head and my heart. I'm in a profession that I absolutely love. I think my employment history shows that. Asking about leadership and management, by the way, Becky's agency is 21 in total. She has four direct reports and operates a budget of about $3 million to give you some questions about scale or some information about scale. She goes on to say, under leadership, I'm a real collaborator. I refer to everyone that I work with as a colleague. I think that's critically important, especially for bringing new ideas to the table and letting staff know that they can be involved. That it's not just the leadership team of the organization making decisions with our executive committee. That's been a good process. I instituted a storyboard process as well. For any project or plan we do, I have pin walls where we post our ideas. We think through what we want to do, what our outcomes are, and they live and evolve. We have them in places where anybody, regardless of whether you're part of that project or the planning effort, can come and comment and bring ideas. It's allowed us to have a legitimate system of collaboration. Talking about board relationships, I manage two boards under different sets of laws. I'm also the public face of both boards on a day-to-day basis. Some of the people are on the same two boards, but not exclusively. The County Planning Commission with the Bi-County Planning Commission, that's a 37-member board. 80% of them are elected officials of all kinds. Annually, those members change, but some people stay the same. The county executive obviously stays on. There are representatives from each county as well. There is at least a four-year cycle of the same folks being on board. I'm trying here just to give you a flavor of what she does and what her personality is to a certain extent. In talking about political experience, it's the whole idea of metropolitan planning organizations or a regional council of governments. It's inherently complicated. When you're talking about bringing people in that have jurisdictions over all over, they're related to each other somehow, or in some instances, they're not at all related. But there is commonality through the road systems, water systems, sewer systems, and other parks and rec systems, trail systems, things like that. It really is our job as a regional council to bring those people and all of those entities together again, find that common ground. Oftentimes, it's not the board itself, but it's our partners who are our implementation partners. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's individual members of the board. Sometimes it's nonprofits or even for-profit entities. We basically put the puzzle together, and that's exactly what we do. I asked the candidates what their strengths are, and Becky's response is being passionate about planning. A lot of people tell me that, and I know I am. It makes me really happy to know what other people see that. If I'm excited about it, like genuinely excited about the work I get to do, other people are going to be excited about it too. That's how we really can communicate, make change that we need to make as communities, or protect the assets that we need to protect and keep things the same that we need to keep the same. Everybody has different strengths and skills, but I think that passion really supports that culture of collaboration, whether it's internally or externally. I'm really good at it. Compound, complex problem solving too. I take a lot of pride in that. So that's her statement of what her strengths are in her mind. And I do a summary of each of the candidates. In Becky's case, my summary is this: very effective writer and communicator, projects sincerity, passion, connects with her audience, well-experienced agency manager with an appropriate planning background and an AICP, demonstrated collaborative management with a bent to flatten organizational structure, affirming positive nature, at ease, assuming, self-assured. I go on to say, in my view, Becky can do the job of the executive director. She has the experience and skill sets for the position. The issue of fit remains, though I have no specific concerns. She will need staff support and time to know players and issues. With that support and knowledge, she should do well. And so that's an example of how I have approached each one of these that you're going to hear about. And it gives you some specifics and then what my opinion is from there. So I'm still hampered with not being able to talk about exact employment and a few other things. But if you have some questions, I'd be happy to try and address them. Yes.
I was just curious. Do you have this written in the kind of scrubbed version that you could send to us?
Or no, I can't do that.
It just has to be verbal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I'm taking notes, but I was just thinking,
I appreciate,
is this something
the question
I'm going to get emailed later anyway? So.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can you relate it to a number on this matrix or not?
I have to think about that for a second.
I assumed it was number 6, but I
would say, so you have all the
yeah. Yes. Yeah. You.
And the Y. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I think you can relate it there, and you probably have enough details to put that one together. Any other questions on Becky? Yes, sir.
Just curious. Being a metropolitan planning organization, can you tell us whether it's in the Philadelphia area or the Pittsburgh area?
I can't right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to keep this as general as I can, but it is of some significant size. It is not.
And was there any California or Nevada background?
In this, no, not that I saw.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, thanks. And I know you have constraints and stuff. But I am curious, you know, with the MPO experience, I do know some regional organizations that are really planning centric, which is awesome, and we need it, but they don't really have necessarily a regulatory teeth to them. That is, like this afternoon, we have to struggle through tough regulatory decisions. So are you able to share it with this experience with this MPO? Is it sort of a tough regulatory environment, or is it sort of a, we don't regulate, but we get together to collaborate to get stuff done?
Right. So one of the things that didn't come out in these comments, but because I've had to abbreviate my comments quite a bit, or her comments, I should say, they're involved in water quality regulations. And so that is part of what they do. Their mission is different than yours, but it is not 180 degrees different. Sure.
Are they in charge of enforcing those water quality regulations?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. I know it's in their mission, so to speak, but I'm not sure how they, which levers they directly pull and which levers they ask others to. Okay, then we'll move on to our next candidate. There we are. I'm going to mention this. This is may or may not be true about this candidate. There are two candidates in the stack. I've gone to change their first names as well because their circumstances are such that it might. Anyhow, so I just wanted to mention that. This particular candidate's first name is Jane. Jane has a Master of Philosophy from Cambridge, has a Master's in Engineering from MIT, has a BS in Civil Engineering from Brown. She works for a State Department of Transportation. She's currently the Director of Programs and has been in that role since about 2017. She's been with that Department of Transportation since 2017. She's been in the deputy director role, if I recall right, for about 2.5 years. Previously, she worked 5 years for nonprofits that were engaged in non-motorized public transportation policy advocacy. And she had worked with two different groups over that 5 year period. And together, that spans approximately 8 or 9 years of employment. In asking her about relevant experience, she says, I'm one of the deputies within the State Department of Transportation. I oversee what we call a program. There are 5 divisions in my program. I'm proud of the fact that I'm experienced in the private sector, in the public sector now for 5 years, and on the nonprofit side as an advocate. I feel very strongly that the somewhat winding path I've taken to my role now in government has made me more effective at my job because I've had those different perspectives. I've started my career as an engineer. I have experience from the technical side, working on projects, getting things done, getting projects delivered. But I also have spent quite a bit of time at the policy level, at the leader level, at the executive level, developing and honing my skills, thinking about problems statewide, and much more of a much larger kind of system level. I'm talking about management and leadership. Our agency has over 20,000 employees in it. Her department has 500. She has 12 direct reports, and I believe her budget is $15 billion. I love being a leader. I really enjoy it. I've always loved working with teams. And even back when I was in school, I was on the sports team and loved being team captain, helping to lead and motivate people. I really considered that one of my great strengths. I'll speak first to my management experience. I've managed people throughout my career in advocacy. I work with smaller organizations. My management has exemplified in the context of more by leading coalitions, working with other organizations and bringing folks together around shared priorities. On some of the big policy bills or issues that we have worked on, we've had as many as 80 to 100 organizations trying to move in the same direction. On working with boards, I've served in a number of boards. I currently chair one of the nonprofit boards I'm on for a local government or for a local group here. I worked for organizations that have boards at the state level. We essentially work for a transportation commission. That's not part of the Department of Transportation. They're adjacent to us. And we report and have to answer to them often. I've done a lot of work reporting to boards, staffing them, even helping them build and recruit. By working with elected officials as well, certainly in my time in advocacy, I did a lot of work with state legislators, as also working with local governments and mayors and city officials about building relationships and managing those. I think building personal relationships with people on the individual level is important. I do often get to those people. I do often get to know people by like, hey, let's grab lunch or have coffee. You get to know each other, especially when I'm new in an organization. I'll do that a lot. I want to build trust with my colleagues and, again, understand that they care about what they care about. That's really key. Making time for people, I think, is really important about political experience. Meeting people where they are. I think really understanding and appreciate local context. What is unique about your community? What is unique about your project? Or whatever issue you're trying to deal with. Being sensitive to that, whether unique environment or development scenario or historic conditions of a community. The political leanings of a community or what humans care about. So the political conditions of a community are what humans care about. That's obviously critically important. Do everything that we can to understand, be sensitive to it. She considers her strengths. I would like to think that I'm known for being a bridge builder, connecting people, connecting issues, bringing people together around a common cause. I spoke to building coalitions earlier in my career and leading people, being able to lead and lead effectively and lead in a way that makes people feel valued and their issues are valued. So those are Jane's comments. In summary, effective writer, both technically, both in a technical style and a narrative, in my view, experienced leader, experienced manager, experience with legislative process, politically aware. Jane brings technical engineering, transportation planning, and years of advocacy in non-motorized transportation groups, along with private public sector experience. Jane's transportation depth, advocacy, work, and top-tier agency management leadership is what stands out for her, in my mind. Jane has the skills to do the job, in my view. The fit and compatibility in the agency here, I can't be an adequate judge of that. So that's Jane, who's introduced.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for Steve? Okay. All right. Okay.
Then we'll move on to the next one. Excuse me, for those that are really big into Word, I need to adjust my view for this to work properly, which I'm doing. It takes me a moment for whatever reason. That's... Yeah, this next candidate's name is Julie. She's a PhD candidate in environmental science, University of Nevada. She has a master's degree in journalism, Temple University, a BA in communications from the University of Delaware. And she is currently with a bi-state regional planning agency, an MPO. Currently deputy director and external affairs chief as of 2013. So. Asking about relevant experience, her answer is, my unique qualifications for this position to lead the agency and certainly my 19 years working for the agency has given me every exposure to the job. Having filled in for the executive director a number of occasions as acting director in the past, I do have a sense of that job. I would say those are critical pieces to my employment history. My blend of public and private sector employment is very important to doing the job of a leader of the agency. I'm hoping to be the first PhD as a director. About the agency has 67 FTEs, the department has 13, She has currently 4 direct reports, and the budget is a bit over $20 million. And asking, going further about talking about leadership and management, I love team building. My professional management style is a team approach. I lead by example. I've had that good fortune to manage a lot of people in my career, diverse teams, ranging from my early years, my first job right out of college at the power company. I love leadership. I'm a hard worker, and I motivate my team because they see how hard I'm working. I would say I lead by example as management style. But I also say the other example of that would be the high expectations and the high support. I work with my team to do annual check-ins, have action plans for their development, and work collaboratively to find areas of interest for professional development and working with boards. I work with elected officials here locally in the basin for our multiple counties on one incorporated city. At the state level, I work with both legislatures. I work at the federal level. I've developed a very deep relationship with my tenure here with the delegations of both states and in the House and Senate. She goes on to say, I have a very close relationship with the board that I've built over time. I understand the politics and dynamics of working for a board, and I've been board chair myself working on the other side at a local hospital on its board. Relationship building and management of relationships. I have 30 years in Lake Tahoe, so I have deep relationships. I have counted on those relationships to benefit the agency, and my philosophy is service. I serve my colleagues when they need help. I help them. And when I need help, they help me as a friend or a colleague would do. I'm a relationship person. That's what I am at the core. It's what I believe in. It's what I have seen help this agency. I honor those relationships. I stay in touch. Dealing in politics. For the last 5 years, I've been our executive point on a bi-state consultation on transportation, where we're working on both state and our federal and local partners to usher in a new era of investment in transportation infrastructure. My work in that legislative space has been helping pass bills like the Lake Tahoe Restoration Act and supporting grant applications under the new bipartisan infrastructure law. Her strengths, in her view, are I'm known for my communication. That is my strength. My education is professional communication and journalism, and I'm known for my positivity. My positive energy, my enthusiasm, my tenacity in spite of adversity, and my ability to break down complicated topics to explain it in a way that people can relate. And then in terms of my summary, very good writer. Julie brings both knowledge and experience of the agency, the area, and its partners. She has many existing professional relationships. She has some management experience, though, frankly, I didn't get the depth of that management experience. That's probably on me. She spoke of her leadership of others. Her strength is the knowledge of Tahoe and the agency. Julie is well known to the board and the staff of TRPA with 19 years of working together. I believe she is capable of doing the job. I would think the board is a very good idea of what the outcome would look like based on their history with the agency. So those are my comments about Julie.
Presume there are no questions. Okay.
All right. Go on to our next one. Chuckling because the things I was trying to bring up previously, now they're coming up. The thing I wanted to bring up, not so much. So excuse me for my lack of skills on some of this. Okay. Oh, actually, this is a good thing. I did want to mention this. And so at this time in our process that Profman uses, we don't solicit references. We don't ask for them at this stage. Julie has provided references, which is very timely, actually. And as I mentioned, you mentioned how we deal with internal candidate references. So those references will be available to you when the time is appropriate. I was asked to have a name or the names of the reference people, and I have those in front of me. If you would like those shared and read, I can do those. Good enough. So it sounds like we're good without that. All right. There. Okay. Oh. Well, I would like to introduce Mark. Mark has worked with both counties and cities in California, most recently a California city with a population of a little over 70,000 as its community development director. Previous to that, he was there for a short period of time, and just to get, I asked why it was such a short period of time, it was a matter of months. His response was, to shorten the story, an illness, an extended family member caused him to return and leave that job and return back to his previous place of where he was living. So prior to that, he had worked for a large California county, population about 3.3 million, was their director of planning and development services for 9 years. He, when asked about relevant experiences, he says, I've got a very, very deep breadth of experience from small to very large, a downtown central business development, metropolitan city, very, very small remote community, recreational lake community, all are in Mark's experience set. His largest agency experience, the agency was about 17,000 employees. His department was about 225. He had five direct reports, and the budget was $6.5 billion. I believe that was the entire entity, the entire agency, and not his department. So I, for whatever reason, I don't have a department budget at this time, but it still has some sense of scale to it. When asked about management, his response is, mentorship, coaching is key. Developing our staff, which is the most important thing that we have, and people are our most important asset. I'm very focused on organizational values. What are the stated values? What's the mission, purpose, and vision of the organization set by the governing board? When asked about working with elected officials and boards, Mark says he worked at a city development corporation. I worked directly with the board members in briefings, working on progress issues and reporting to them. And he used that as the prime example. He's obviously also worked with elected officials in his role too. Building relationships. The county has something like 100 external agencies maintaining different tribal authorities. We proactively cultivated different professional and community stakeholder groups. I'd have more than 25 different environmental groups that we would regularly reach out to, sometimes in team settings, sometimes individually. And I had more than 25 different kinds of economic-based groups, from the BIA, the Building Industry Association, to the high-tech, green tech, and people who are interested in climate change, and the Chamber of Commerce's. Really strong relationship with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the State Department of Fisheries and Wildlife, and the Forest Service, all part of the stew, as he put it. So, in terms of working with politics, born and raised in Nevada, I've been in California, so I get the difference between red, blue, and purple. That's just the nature of the work. I'm asked about his strengths. I think it's the triple bottom line where you are focused on achieving the best sustainable outcomes that are balancing community objectives and needs, economic objectives, and environmental objectives. If you think of that as a Venn diagram, the sweet spot is those overlapping balances. He goes on to say, I remain curious, even though I've been working for a long time, I'm not done. I like what I really like to do. I appreciate the challenge. So my observations or my comments are these. So Mark is well written. Brings experience with boards, elected officials, and politics to communities. He appears to have navigated that well. While his background is planning and urban design and in development as well. He offers both the people management and experienced hand perspective, term that I tend to use, in working with boards. So he's been around the block working with boards, I guess is another way to speak of that. I think Mark can do the job. That's the essentially where the nut of my comments there.
Shall I have a question?
Yes.
My question is, anywhere in your interviews, did you discuss relocation, that these people are willing to relocate to the region? Because we do have so many people thinking they can Zoom from anywhere to do anything.
Yeah. So, right. I can appreciate that. And it does sometimes feel like you can. But that isn't quite the case for certain roles. And this might be one of those indeed. So I did talk about relocation. And
not specific to this candidate, and just in general, well, it made me pause to say, is actually, this person within a drive-up range that could then be saying, hey, I'll just drive up every other week?
It's particularly relevant to this candidate. So one of the things he said is, because of that health issue with an extended family member, there's two places he can live, where he was before or is currently, which I'm trying not to mention, and somewhere in the Sierras, kind of close to here. So that's the geographic location is a big decision point from his perspective. With others, they're aware of the relocation need, and I think that's a conversation that needs to continue to develop.
Okay. It's just important. I know that was usually a typical question we had to grill people on. A lot of people think it sounds great to live in the mountains.
And I assume
until they do it.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm assuming they're aware of the housing costs of this area.
Right. Okay. Hopefully they do their research and such. Mm-hmm. Anything else before I move to the next candidate? So the next candidate is Sue. Sue has a Master's of Public Administration. She also has a Master of Science in Administration, BS in Administration, and those appear to be from Strayer University, though I suspect, actually, I forgot. I have not noted where one of these degrees came from, so look forward to hearing about that in the future. So, she works for a state environmental protection agency. She's the chief operating officer and has been in that role for the last 3 years or so. Previous to that, she's worked with the federal agencies and has been chief operating officers for a similar position for over 10 years, including the US EPA and the Department of Energy. When I asked about relevant experience, her response was, I've been very successful in my career as a federal executive. I think what's important to know, just in general, is I've been able to move up a career ladder rather quickly. It's really because I have this unique way of getting along with people, bringing people together. My personality really works with relationships, with leadership positions, excuse me. More specifically about leadership and management, the agency has over 6,000 employees. The department has 90. She has 18 direct reports, and the agency has a $10 billion budget. In excess of a $10 billion budget. Asked about management, she says, my style is to come in with a level of respect for people, respect for their expertise. I demonstrate this respect. We have a lot of issues going on in my current agency. So I have a lot of experts, subject matter experts, and I allow them to do their job. They have the autonomy to think and to grow and be innovative. I meet with my leaders regularly, weekly. I give them the autonomy to do what they need to do. My leadership style is also when I'm working with high-level leaders of large departments. I demonstrate who I am by being an example of good leadership, excellence, ethics, morals, and that's how I carry myself. I'm able to win the trust of our leaders and employees. Asked about working with boards and elected officials. And I asked this in the context of lessons learned. I noticed that legislators are not happy when they find out later in the game, in the process, what my agency is thinking of doing. From that lesson, I do now engage the elected officials right away, and before I even start. I'm a people person, and I build relationships and coalitions. Talking about relationship building and management of relationships, I go about building professional relationships. I tell my executives, my philosophy is I want to touch everyone who's involved. I want them to know I'm listening. I hear you. I get it. I may not be able to do everything you need or want me. I may not be able to do everything or everything you need or you want me to do. But what you say matters. I start building that trust with our stakeholders. When asked about strength, my claim to fame is I can come into an organization, talk with everyone, read everything, look at the budget, look at the processes, look at the time it takes to put a permit out, look at the redundancies and unnecessary things that are making our lives harder or not being as efficient. I'm the one who will work with staff to improve processes so we can improve in the most efficient manner. So I'm the one who will work with my staff to improve processes so we can operate in the most efficient manner possible. That's what I'm really good at. My comments, excellent writer, very articulate. Sue uses everyday language, relates well with people quickly, comes across as genuine. She's very well experienced executive leader for a large governmental organizations. She is heavily networked in the environmental communities. She's very knowledgeable in state legislative processes. I believe that Sue can do the job. There's an obvious question about working at such a different scale than where she currently is or has been. Her response was she wants to be more hands-on, closer to the work. Sue is one thing to note here, and one of the things I ask all the candidates, can you work within the salary advertised? In Sue's case, it was maybe. Maybe if it's top level. So I just want to put that on the table because I think it's worth knowing. So, and all the other candidates can work somewhere in the range. I don't negotiate a salary at this stage, but I want to know you can be inside or outside the advertised range. That brings me. Yeah, that's the five. Yeah. That leaves us two more. And I think I wanted to ask the question if you want to hear about the two that I interviewed, but I'm not recommending, either over issues of time or whatever. These will not take long, I'll say that. I'm also thinking of these individuals a little bit too. So I obviously am not recommending them, so I have some negative comments. I'm not saying in much detail why, but I just want to say.
Well, Vince and I have heard these summaries before, but the other members of the committee might be interested so they have an idea of what you base your acceptance and rejections on.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Yeah. I'd be happy to go forward. Just wanted to pause and see the chairs and board's thoughts. So let me do that. Next candidate is John. John has a PhD in environmental chemistry. He also has a BS in environmental toxicology. And he's an assistant director at a university in environmental programs. He's been in that role for 9 years. When asked about relevant experience, I was hired up here as an air pollution researcher, then hired as a faculty member, as a professor. And he's been there for 14 years. I see. He's actually been engaged in that in 14 years. And so I'm sorry for the previous misstatement. I've also done applied research on management leadership. His agency has about 4,000 staff. His department has 24. He has 6 direct reports, and the budget is, I assume the department level budget is about $3 million. As the assistant director for environmental health and safety, I supervise a number of professional staff. And that number is 24, just to give you some idea there. I didn't get we went into some other conversation that I don't think is that helpful. Asked about board and elected official relations. I've never actually worked directly for a board of directors. I've been on board of directors for nonprofits in sort of volunteer roles and have been several of those. Asked about relationship building. One-on-one key things in human interaction is trust. I think trust is developed in time, and that time takes you showing up. Asked about strengths. I get stuff done. I've always been a very active manager. I've never been just a manager. I'm a manager and a technical person. And in terms of my summary, I say I believe that John, I think, is a very good writer. I do think, however, he lacks some of the core competency that this role requires. And so for that reason, I'm not recommending.
Any questions?
Let me go on and talk about Matt. Matt has a degree in geography from California State. He's currently working for a California county with about 150 population, where he's the where he oversees development services, and he's been in that role since 2020. He has previously been the Community and Economic Development Director and has been with that particular county for, I'll just quote him here. My entire professional employment career has been with this one organization, this county. I've held, in essence, every position within our planning department. Other department heads report to me now Those department heads include community and economic development, the public works department or director, the utility divisions, road maintenance, sewer, water and lighting districts, water and natural resources are all reporting to this individual. And that was under his relevant experience. Agency description, about 189 in the agency. Department, and that's actually the department, is 189. The budget is around 185 million. I believe that to be the entire agency or county in this case, but it's not clear in the materials. One thing that's been a success for us here in the county, and specifically to my department, is not only do we have routine weekly meetings to go over things with that core group of folks, but we have time that we carve out, at least quarterly, to sit down and talk big picture goals and objectives, to meet for the coming year and check in on those goals. In terms of working with elected officials, every day I'm talking to one of my board members on different things. I do talk to them on a regular basis. It's important to be able to deliver, whether it's good message or bad message. You have to be able to deliver that right. I've seen far too often when what gets folks like me in trouble is when you just tell the boss what they want to hear. That is a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. You have to have the relationship that is built over trust. You're leading the way so that you're able to deliver the bad news. Relationship management and building, it starts with communication, honesty, and building that trust. And Matt has worked, in terms of politics, Matt has worked successfully in local and state political environments. He has made calls to his state legislature and helped support issues of interest to his county. Strengths, he says, I'm known as a guy that builds consensus and listens. My comments, well-experienced California county level planning and development. Well-experienced California County Planning and Development Services Manager, Director. Matt is a successful manager. He shows leadership. I think, however, that his perspective has been limited by having worked for one agency for an extended period of time. I don't remember the exact time, but it's in the range of 13 to 15 years. And I can check if that's important. I feel that, though, back to my comments, I feel that that's a little limiting, and particularly when you're moving from a county agency or the role that county general purpose government has to a more specific agency of this nature. I think if you had a broader set of experiences as a city manager, perhaps, or as a with multiple cities, or as a county manager, something similar with multiple cities or counties, perhaps that might prepare you. But in this particular instance, while I think this individual is probably perhaps ready to be a county manager somewhere, I don't think that he would be successful here. So those are the two other candidates, as I mentioned. The third, no, as it turns out, had withdrawn early. So, with that, and I don't even know how long that took, we've touched on your candidates.
Thank you. See, I had one question regarding Matt.
Mm-hmm.
You felt that the breadth of his experience wasn't sufficient, but Mark has only worked as community development directors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, their level of experience is still fairly localized. What is the difference in your judgment?
Yeah, the distinction I make there is so Mark has worked in some very large agencies. He's worked in some very small agencies. And he's had experience now in two different counties, and I believe in two different cities, as I recall the details of his resume. And I think that gives you a chance to see different ways of how things are done. When you're in just one agency for an extended period mm-hmm. of time, you know one way very well, but that one way may not be the solution for the next place. And so that's how I mentioned it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions for Steve at this point? Yes, Jim and then Cindy.
And I don't know if this is the appropriate time. I just, for my clarity, we've got this list, 28 applicants, and then you went through five that you recommend, two that you're not recommending.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other 21?
Sure.
So, I'm just trying to see how this process, because this is the most interesting selection process I've ever been a part of.
Yeah. So, I'll talk about those in general. And I'm happy to, if you would like me to talk about any other individual within the constraints that I've identified, we can do that. But in general about those, roughly 20% didn't meet your minimums. Didn't have a degree, didn't have the experience set. Roughly another 20% I know. I've interviewed them before. I know where they work. I have a pretty good idea of what that is they do. And they didn't make they really didn't, in my view, make the cut. And I might even expand both those percentages. So that was a bit of it. The rest were me ferreting out. There were a couple of folks that came close to an interview. And we take interview. I was considering folks for interviewing up until, I was considering people for interview up until the Friday, the day before I had to complete my report for it. Because if they're really, really good, I want to get them in the pool. And there were a couple that were on the margins, but not, as I drilled down into them, not that strong. One was a Colorado COG, that director. But as I did some research, I realized that's a small COG. Oh, their mission is not about transportation. It is not about planning. It's more about coordinating a host of interesting services on energy savings and a variety of other things that are important to a 3 or 4 or 5 counties, but they don't really match up. And if I stop the process the day before I'm due, that has a cost to the as well. And so I pull back from that. And there was a similar one from Nebraska that was an MPO. But when I looked into it, it was a small MPO. And the agency director, as I looked harder, didn't have much time in the chair, didn't have much time in the seat. And so I pulled back from that one as well. And so those were just examples of.
No, I appreciate that. I just want to, and I totally trust the work of the consultant and the steering committee. I just want to, as a member of the ad hoc committee, I want to make sure I fully understand and can answer any questions I might have of how this process is working and kind of working through the system. So I appreciate the clarification.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Cindy, please.
On Sue, on number 5 mm-hmm. that we talked about, I apologize because I got distracted. I just had to move a meeting that I'm supposed to be. I didn't get that individual had worked for a board.
Yeah.
Directly for a board or... Did I miss that?
So she has served on boards and on a variety of boards that are mainly environmental organizations and consortiums of multi-state settings. Let me see if I can get Sue up and more directly answer that. Just a second.
I may have missed it because I was getting the federal connections and the direct reports, but I didn't get direct work for a board.
And I...
Did anybody else make a note on that?
She talked, so in that section, her response was directed more to elected officials. And so she really didn't tell me too much about board activity. We did talk about it later in the interview, or maybe even later in that segment. I have just one excerpt from it here. And I remember her talking about some board relationship issues she had, but she was a board member, not serving in that capacity.
So she doesn't answer to a board of directors?
To my understanding, no, she doesn't.
It didn't sound that way, but I just wanted to make sure that...
Yeah, I know I could... she doesn't answer to a board today.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know that you were impressed with Sue. I am a little concerned about the fact that she applied for a job knowing fully well, apparently, that the salary range was probably less than she was prepared to accept. And that bothers me. The job is what it is. The salary range is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we could make an exception if our budget permits, if we feel that she's a stellar candidate. But it just bothers me that she would even apply knowing that we're incapable, perhaps, of meeting her salary demands. And I don't know how other members react. But.
And sometimes you can understand that if it's quality of life or if they express other interests in mm-hmm. making that kind of a move. But still, they would be willing to accept that salary range, that they might take a step down because of other quality of life.
I was just going to... It significantly bothers me. In fact, you know, listening to the thing, I mean, I think we need to be inclusive and certainly want to, you know, cast a wide-ish net and interview 3 to 5 or 7 folks. But my experience, and again, I work for the state of Nevada, and we certainly have salary range issues, and TRPA gets money from the state of Nevada, and we go through very severe economic swings. And so my experience in hiring folks that insist on coming in at the top level, they don't stay. That's just been my experience. So it was a huge red flag. So just throwing it out there.
I also worry, two things that kind of frighten me in hiring from my experience, are hiring people who've already done the job, which I think I've mentioned, and mm-hmm. she's done a bigger job and this would be a smaller job. It's just, you know, the people to me who tend to do the best have something to prove and something to gain. So someone who's come down, I think, would just kind of be showing up, you know, more than just aggressive at it. And the other one that scares me are people who have been at the same place their whole career. And you already got him out. I just think it tends to just reinforce one way of doing things and maybe a lack of dynamicism or something. So I'm glad that you already took him off the list. But for her, coming from a massive department and coming down does worry me. And then the salary is mm-hmm. is a big red flag, because I agree. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So, did you have something to add? Chris, did you have something to add?
I wasn't planning on saying anything, but if you want me to, I can comment.
I'm sorry?
I wasn't planning on saying anything, but if
you want me to comment. Well, you moved to the table, so I assumed you had something.
I was just hiding behind the chair.
Okay.
The other, you know, it's a big concern to me, too. If you haven't worked for a board, being in a big position, but being answering to mm-hmm. one person or one entity, is a big difference than working with multiple jurisdictions, different political viewpoints. I don't know, just mm-hmm. a concern.
Certainly. Well, it's the selection of who you invite is entirely yours, not mine. And I've offered an opinion, but you're not in any way bound to that. So you can add other folks. And certainly I wanted to point out the salary issue because I also find that, I'll say, curious. So, yeah.
So I'm getting a sense that that perhaps the other four that have been highlighted would be good candidates to invite to an interview. Gives us a field of four, which is not bad. So that would be Becky, Jeannie, Julie, and Mark. So, John, do you want us to go ahead and make a motion to that effect, and then we can move on to process? Oh, I'm sorry, John. The one with a mask.
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Would someone care to make a motion to that effect? Yes, Vince. Your mic.
I'd like to present the motion to advance those four candidates whose given names are Becky, Jane, Julie, and Mark forward to the next round for interviews.
I have been quiet, but this is, you know, sort of the first information that I've been getting at the different candidates. And I think the points that you've raised are valid. I definitely have some comments I want to make as we talk about next steps in the process. So I'll have a chance to speak about that, but I don't have any concerns about
those four.
No.
And eliminating them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Just to go back to Steve now. After we pass this motion, who informs the four? And then when do we get more information on the four?
Certainly. So we'll inform the four and the other candidates as well. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows they don't need to worry about this one anymore. Additionally, we'll start getting releases from them and providing supplementing that information. You'll get their complete information prior to the interview, and we haven't really identified a time yet. The thing that will take the longest is getting their reference, or the written references.
So 3, 3, and 3?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because those are just hard to get everybody to respond to. We will be able to get you the material several days prior to the interview.
Okay, so the interviews are not scheduled until the 26th. So, my advice to you, Steve, is to get us as much material as you can, as early as you can, even if the references don't come in precisely when you expect them.
So that information can go to more than us then.
Oh, yes. Well, yes, absolutely.
Public and also the full board.
Right.
So everybody's going to be...
It'll be posted on the website.
So we're ready to rock and roll on that end of October.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. That's the intent.
Which is a nice segue.
Yeah, well, that's a discussion with John. John Hester, the mask man.
I have no mask.
But I just want to make it because I really enjoyed my interview with you, Steve. But the whole time I was going through this, part of me was just nervous as hell. I don't know what's going on. And so I just kind of like trusted the process. But I think this is fine. But I think for the four, actually for three, it's really to get to know those three. I have no problem with the four. Okay.
You still have reservations?
I'm a little more comfortable.
Okay. Right. You can sleep tonight then. You know, okay. All right.
I didn't have a good night's sleep last night. I was thinking about all this stuff, you know.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
But you got to vote on this motion.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Well, we're going to take a vote.
Yeah.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Ms. Navarro?
Ms. Navarro?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
All right. Shelley, I'll go through this, and I want to make sure it works for Steve, too. So Wednesday, October 26th, the next board meeting you all have, during that...
No cell towers on the 26th.
Well, I hope you're right. Not for many reasons, but whatever.
Yeah.
So we will, while that's happening, have one or two panels. The decision whether to be one or two is up to you all. Steve recommended 5 to 7. There's one panel, he'll facilitate that. If there's two, he and then Sonia Proffman will do the other one. Those will be going on here in other rooms while you all are having a board meeting. Stakeholders who you will need to identify. I'll come back to that in a second. My understanding is there'll be a panel interviewing all four candidates, and then their input, Steve will get. No. One at a time. Well, maybe four at a time. I don't know, Steve. But
individually,
he says he's not that young.
And John, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I didn't see any public, so I didn't call for public comment. But we neglected to call for public comment
before the vote.
Sorry. So, is there a motion to rescind the motion that was made and passed?
I will move to rescind my motion.
Okay, we have any comments on the question? Seeing none, Tracy, please call the roll.
Ms. Navarro?
So yes to rescind?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes. See, that's what happens when I don't follow my cheat sheet. I can't even find it in all this massive paperwork. We now move to public comment regarding the... where's that cheat sheet? I don't know. Who knows? No, that's it's lost. It's gone. We'll now move to public comment on this item. Any member of the public who wishes to comment, please come to the podium. I see no one in the audience who seemed interested in commenting. Is there anyone on Zoom, Catherine, who would like to comment?
Members of the public online, if you would like to comment on agenda item number 3 of this committee meeting, please raise your hand by clicking on the raise hand button or by dialing *9 on your phone. Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. All right, then. Vince, would you like to repeat your motion?
I move to move the four candidates, four of the five candidates, known to us as Becky, Jane, Julie, and Mark, forward to the next round for interviews at the next board meeting.
Okay, we have a motion. Any comments on the question? All right, Tracy, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes, on what?
On the motion.
On my motion, I rescinded. Your motion now?
Vince made the motion.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yes.
Ms. Navarro?
It's late.
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay.
Okay, I'll try again. So during your meeting on the 26th, we'll have one or two panels. The number of panels, I think, will probably depend on how many people you want involved. That evening, assuming we can finish the governing board meeting about 4, because that's what our facilities manager said, he needs at least 4. He could get set up by 5 here to have 5:30. I'm sorry. We would have a catered event. We could handle about 100 people, cash bar. That will save us. The minimum cost to go anywhere else that we heard was $2,500 up to $5,000. So, although that's a lot of work for Steve and his crew to tear down, we think it's worth it. We'll probably give Steve a nice bonus for that. But anyway, I hope that isn't a set thing, because even though it's on the public record, it's just speculation. But anyway, so that night we would have, and the reason we said about 100, Shelley, was we thought maybe you wanted to direct us to invite all the staff, and then that leaves us room for about 30 more stakeholders and the candidates. My understanding is there's an instrument that Steve has that people fill out or something they can leave. So he will have the panel information and that information. We were thinking something like 5:30 to 7:30, if that's long enough. I don't know if it is, but okay. So then you'll have the panel information and this reception information. The next day, Thursday, the 27th, starting, say, whatever time you guys want to, 8:30, 9, whatever, we would then schedule the interviews with the four, and Steve would present the information from the night and day before that started. And I don't know if you wanted to, what are the role you want to have in the interviews?
Would you like me to make any comments now, John, or you? Okay.
That was what we're proposing with Steve's tweet.
So all of that, from my perspective, should work well. We have a couple of tools that will help, including how we get information out of the panels from the day before and bring that into you, or I should say the entire governing board at that point. We'll work out some of those details as we need to. And with four candidates, you're probably looking at a five-hour process, accounting what. So I think there's the question whether you will go into, or rather, if the governing board is going to go into some sort of deliberative discussion following the interview process.
My guess is if we start pick nine, after 4 hours of interviews, you probably want a lunch break and then come back. We also, Maria and I, will prepare the agenda for October so that if for some reason you don't get through on October 27th, Thursday, then we will have it agendized that you could reconvene the following Wednesday, November 2nd. Hopefully that we won't have to do that. Jim's like, no way, buddy. But anyway, if that works for the committee, that's what we'll.
I have a little bit of concern about it. Just the information from the night before, you know, will need to be processed, synthesized, presented, taken in at some point by us prior to our interviews, I think, because those will generate follow-up questions. And gosh, an hour seems like a really short time to spend with someone to have them take over your organization. I've never hired anyone off one interview, but I know that we're relying on your guidance. So
there are some options, but you will also have input though from a whole host of sources, including your stakeholder groups from the day before. And we're going to want a little bit of time with the governing board to present the information from the stakeholder groups. So that's probably going to take, assuming we have two stakeholder panels, or that's less than an hour, but let's call it an hour of time for that. And so you'll have that information. It would be good to hear that on the 27th. The information from the night before, we have a comment card that we put together that has a brief bio on each candidate, and then it basically gives a chance for a either signed or anonymous comment to come back to you. And our usual method is just to circulate those cards amongst the governing board, so you have a chance to see the raw information. We might refine that if we have a look. We'll talk about that, but it will take a little time to process it if we need to refine that in the night before. I just need to think about how we'll do that. So.
Well, that's going to be quite a challenge. We have 100 attendees.
Yeah.
All fill out
but it
comment
really is
cards.
That number. We're right.
But there may be some redundant comments, too, that we can eliminate.
Yeah. So we find if we just circulate them, you know, around the table, so to speak, over a period of time, that folks will have a chance to gather the information they need. The decision makers will have a chance.
At lunch prior to our deliberations.
Well, it sounds like maybe start the 27th with an hour for Prothman, and then maybe 4 hours of interviews and a lunch break.
Yeah, I think it would be good to have those comments before as well, because, you know, we'd hate to have the interview and then hear a comment, you know, they've made a pass at me, you know, or something. I don't know, you know, whatever it is that comes up.
Yeah. we can all imagine.
So,
does that sound reasonable? Or
I guess I'm beginning to agree with Vince when I think about time and also just the waiting for the others, whoever gets number one, and then by the time he gets to number four, that a time frame, because they're also going to be interviewing us to a certain extent. I mean, this is their first meeting with us.
Yep.
And also we had the kind of get together before, which would be kind of interesting too from their standpoint, trying to get the lay of the land and how friendly folks seem to be and all that kind of stuff. So 4 hours. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't expect us to get done till mid-afternoons, but it'd be nice to schedule 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, so there is not the waiting queue out there that's driving you crazy in the green room. So if we acknowledge that we're doing 2, and you could give us then what Vince was asking, the stuff from the day before the 2.
Yes.
We break then for a lunch, bring back the 2, and then if we have the deliberations, then we can decide whether we feel comfortable enough, we can make the decision, or we're going to go and wreck Lawrence's November 2nd.
There's one other, can I just throw out this idea? I'm looking at John. Can we split the governing board into 2 groups and be doing 2 different interviews? I don't know that that's ideal, but it does allow the candidates to have a little more intimate group to talk to versus 15 of us sitting around and never getting a question in or a, so I don't know.
It's an interesting concept, but I gain some value from hearing questions asked by other members of the board, and I would hate to lose that advantage.
No, absolutely. So, I was just thinking that 7 and 8.
I wondered what you asked. what does Cindy ask?
Well, I'll tell you when we all come back together, you share that information, and you know.
So
thing you should think about is, depending on how you sequence, and because it is a public meeting, it's likely that the candidates that are later interviews are going to listen and think about their answers more than the people who got the first interviews. So if there's some way to mitigate for that.
Put them in the green room.
Well, that's the green room. That's the issue.
The soundproof room in the back of the building. Go ahead, Steve.
It is a valid point. We generally ask the candidates to be I guess I'll say respectful and not do that, but it is a more of an issue of honor.
Yeah.
We're not there to be the police about such things. And I do know that one candidate that you have on your list has a time commitment that they have a Zoom meeting they need to do later in the afternoon.
So we could schedule them for the morning interview.
As long as, that's been in the back of my mind. We'll put that person up front for that reason. It seems like a reasonable request to the comment.
Sure. So let me just throw this out based on everybody's input here. So the first hour October 26th, we will hold our regular governing board meeting as planned. And there will be, I suspect we're going to need 2 panels of stakeholders. If we're limiting the participation to 5 to 7 people, we've got a lot of stakeholders, and it's going to be difficult to pare those down. Then we have a reception between 5:30 to 7:30 that night, and we'll invite all TRPA employees plus anything in excess between 64 and 100. 100 is the limit. Thursday, October 27th, we'll have the first hour beginning at 9:00 with Steve to talk about the comment letters that we received at the reception. And then from 10 until noon, we will interview the first 2 candidates, and Steve will schedule those according to their preferences. And then we will break for lunch, and I guess a 1-hour lunch, and then we will reconvene at 1:00, and we will interview from 1 until 3 the final 2 candidates, and then we can deliberate between 3 and 5. Does that sound like a decent?
Mm-hmm.
If that works for you, then what I need to hear is who you would like on the panels and who you would like invited to the reception, because that's going to be critical.
There's, and I, if I could, just while we're on this subject, Madam Chair, the information from the panels on the day before, that's going to take 45 minutes to an hour to share with you. Now, if potentially we could do that on the 26th. I know we talked about the morning from 9 to 10 to share information. I'm wondering if I can, if we could cover both the information from the panels and circulate the comment cards at the same time. It's possible, but I want to make sure you're comfortable with that, because you're going to be multitasking if that happens.
Well, wouldn't it give you more time if we delayed the sharing of those comment cards, more time to process those comments if we delay it until the following morning?
Yeah. Well, that would be about as early as we could do it, as the following morning,
right,
as the comment cards from the reception.
Right.
The the comments coming from the panels, we can do that immediately.
Okay.
So our facilitators will have that information ready for you. And they'll talk about the strengths and concerns that the panel has for each candidate. We want to have at least one panel member in the room to validate what you're hearing is what they said. And that's basically how the process runs.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is on October 26th, at the end of the governing board meeting, our regular meeting, maybe around 4 o'clock, from 4 to 5, mm-hmm, you'd be given an opportunity to share input received from the stakeholder panels.
Yep, that would be very helpful.
Well, but they're going to be ripping down this room to get it ready. So
how about if
it's public?
Can we have the reception somewhere other than in the boardroom?
Well, that will cost us about $5,000.
There's no other room big enough.
Hmm? Yeah.
Can we go play, curling in the basement?
Well, John, what are your expectations in terms of the length of the governing board meeting on the 26th? Are we going to go until 4 o'clock, or can we...
Depends on what appeals Mr. Marshall brings forward.
Is there something that we can delay until the following month so that we can adjourn early?
You know, the big appeal that we have in October is the TTD Transit Hub, or the East Shore Express, excuse me.
Okay.
We need to get that on.
Steve, is it possible? I mean, mm-hmm, can we give you 2 hours on the following day?
Can the board meet off-site and not, mm-hmm, pay $5,000?
We just have to be public.
A public meeting room is, can we go to another public meeting room for that 26th? And not
that's
being,
also going to, you have to rent the public meeting room.
Well, but it's not $5,000.
Steve told me that he would reset the room late the night of the 26th. So it doesn't really, you know, it'll be ready to go in the morning, but maybe the approach is to give Steve, not Steve Biddle, but this Steve, a couple hours in the morning. So we might start at 8:30 and then start the interviews like 10:30.
No, let's start at 8 o'clock. I mean, that way.
Okay, 8 o'clock?
I think 8 o'clock is fine. That'll be from 8 until 9.
Yep. We'll set aside 8 to 10 to go through both the panels and the information from the reception.
Yeah, that's fine. If you need 2 hours, let's do
start
that.
That will
work. From my perspective, that would work very well. I suspect we won't need that length of time, but let's have it. So.
Okay. All right.
Keep jumping over, but she really doesn't want to say
something. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Shay, I'm sorry, please.
I just had a question about the reception and just the structure of that. If that was just a really informal process where people can just interact with the candidates.
Yes, usually
there's anything structured where they can speak.
Yeah, usually it's a very informal process. There are other models that we can use with 100 people, if that number is accurate. It's going to be a little bit challenging, but it is what it is. By informal, the way I usually use that process is, I invite the candidates up to introduce themselves, do about 3 to 5 minutes on who they are. And then after that, we basically invite the audience members to interact with them, have a drink. It's like, generally I say it's a cocktail party without cocktails, but maybe this one is with cocktails.
We're gonna have fun.
Okay, all right. Well, that's
cash bar.
Yeah, cash bar. So
cash bar, right? Yeah. Right, Mr. Budget.
But yes, so it's usually informal. There are other formulas to this where I don't know the room would be set up for this, though. It's a little bit more like speed dating, and you have tables that you're moving the candidates around at every 10 or 15 minutes. So. Yeah. In a two-hour event, though, I think you have enough time to circulate. So. And I also, and my colleagues will be with me, we'll try and keep an eye on the candidates and help them not get pigeonholed or buttonholed into the corner talking to the same person for 20 minutes. So that's we'll be aware of that.
I was curious because someone brought up that, you know, we're going to be interviewing them, but they're also going to need to be interviewing us. Yeah. Is there any way, since we have an hour, hour and a half tops to interview them with our concerns, to get their questions and respond to them in a way that, you know, meets all our requirements? I mean, if they ask questions, can this committee respond to them and post the answers? It could be anonymous. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there a way to just not take up too much of that time? Because usually, I mean, that would be an hour, hour and a half.
Yes. So, but we build on 1 hour blocks for the interviews. The first 40 minutes of that is your questions, and the last 5 minutes or so is the candidate's questions or closing statement. So there's some opportunity if we're able to do that. To make that work, to make it fit in 40 minutes, you have about 12 to 14 questions you can ask, which is almost enough for everyone, but not quite in your government.
And are you going to, or are we going to put together a list of questions for everyone, or are we going to have the opportunity to tailor them specifically to each candidate?
Right. We're happy to put together a list to select from. We're happy to put together your final list if you would like. But my sense is some of you have certain questions you're thinking of. The reality is you're only going to have like one question per person, a little less than that. But.
And my thinking is in that 2 hours in the morning, you got part of that. You're going to want to say, I'll ask this, I'll ask Cindy, this is, I'll do this. You say, I'll do this. You want to get your script in.
So,
kind of following up on that.
Yes.
And I don't need to know the answer now. I just, you know, I have been working for state bureaucracy, and we have our own bureaucratic ways we do hiring and things like that. We have very strict rules that if me as an interviewer ask one candidate a question, I have to ask that same question of every other candidate. And I just want to make sure that make sure I follow the rules. So I'll need some education between now and then on sort of what the rules are regarding asking questions and what constitutes a follow-up and a primary question and all of that stuff.
And I think, Jim, the answer is what you said is right, but if they give you information and answering that makes you want to ask a question that's unique to that candidate, you can drill in on that.
And when you have an internal versus external, there is some variation in questions. There's got to be. Are you telling me we can't?
We'll look into it.
Yeah, because there's just some knowns and unknowns about location and timing.
Well, could I suggest that we submit?
There's different ways you can deal with questions like that. You can, if we want to do a written set of questions beforehand to get some answer to, or some, you know, some basic things like that. Are you prepared to move, or, you know, just to make sure.
You know, that might be an excellent first step for us to see some written materials. And
can I suggest, though, that we submit? The members of the board submit questions along your line of thinking, John. We submit questions, and then those questions can be supplemented, you know, because there may be some redundancy among members of the governing board, and then each governing board member will be assigned a question to ask. That way you won't have...
You all agree to that, have them come to Angela, and she can work with Steve to come up with a master set.
Right.
Yep. Okay. I'd be happy to provide a list to Angela of some of the questions that we typically would use in this setting. And then you can pick or whoever can decide how you want to change them or if you choose to use them at all. So.
You need to be careful about not having a
walking serial meeting there in terms of deciding on the questions. So we can, you can submit the, I think the best way to do it, submit some questions, and then there'll be staff will take the lead on getting a final list and making some assignments. Now, are these, are you, so we're talking about two different sets of questions. Let's clarify that. There's the, you know, set of maybe basics, which might enhance the questions you've already asked, Steve, about, you know, are you going to accept a dollar figure within our range? You know, are you going to be ready to relocate and not work remotely? You know, are you, you know, some of those basic things that I think we may want to ask in advance, all that, and get that information back out to you versus questions that you will pose during the interview.
Right. Correct.
And that's the questions that Shelley, you were talking about, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Can I make one other comment?
Sure. Shelley, go ahead.
Just with respect to asking the applicants questions ahead of time and, you know, in the interest of them interviewing us and having enough time, is there any possibility that we can ask for their questions to us ahead of time as well, that we might receive those in advance?
I believe that's possible. I'm just, sometimes those questions are rather spur of the moment, but that's okay. If you'd like, we can make that request. And we'll, by the way, we handle all the contact with the applicants or the finalists at this point. So just to keep it clean, we'll transmit to them whatever it is you would like, but at the end, collect their information from them. And a part of that is, do you have some questions you'd like the board to be ready to respond to? We can do that.
Is there a chance we can ask any more substantive questions for a written document? I've been part of all kinds of different interview type panels where you've done asked people for a presentation at the beginning of their interview, or and it might be interesting if we had one or two just as you've seen their writing style. We haven't.
Yep.
And
so you will see the response to three supplemental questions. And so you'll give you a chance to look at the same writing materials I have. And so that's coming. The questions are relevant to the organization. And then you have the cover letter as well. That they all have cover letters in this one. But if there is a more specific question, you wanted an essay problem, we can do that as well.
No, as long as we get to see that, it's good for us to process that and see how they communicate in writing as well. And obviously, I think they had some thought and time to prepare those responses to their application.
So, teeing off of what Cindy just said, in some cases, the hiring entity poses a hypothetical and allows them to respond. In other words, this is the situation. How would you handle it? And I'm wondering, I think that may be what Cindy's alluding to me would be not only disclose their writing style, but their critical thinking skills. So,
And we can be, we're certainly open to doing that. I thought I might read you just what the question is, or the three questions we have, so you have a sense of what that is. So let me get that up on one of these. Yeah, usually at this point, you would have seen these and the sample. The writing samples and the resume, and it's just, it's all a little different, but it's working. So the first question is, please tell us why you're interested in this position, why it's a good time in your career to come to the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. So just, what are the circumstances that bring you here is sort of what it asks. And then we go on to ask, when working with an agency's governing board, what three things do you feel the executive director should strive to achieve? And the final question is, the executive director must build strong relationships with leaders in over 100 organizations in Tahoe and the surrounding region. Please give an example of your experience in successfully building and maintaining relationships with a variety of external agencies. So those are the three.
we're suggesting that they have to be able to communicate effectively with a broad range of constituents. Mm-hmm. If I were the applicant, that would be my response to the second question.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if we should change that up a bit.
These are done. You have the information in hand.
Oh, okay. These have already been asked.
They're already asked. They're already answered. So that's the information
you're working with. But maybe we can use a hypothetical for the additional question to determine, their writing skills and, again, their critical thinking skills as well.
Yeah.
And then maybe staff, John, and you can work with Steve.
Mm-hmm. I bet I know someone who will submit a question like that.
Oh.
Madam Chair.
Okay. So we exhausted this.
Except that I need to know who the stakeholders are you want from panels and in the evening.
Yeah, for the evening, I mean, we're very close to 100. If you add together the Advisory Planning Commission members, every member of TRPA staff, and the representative stakeholders from 17 different organizations, we're at 103. I mean, three over the mark is not a big deal, right? What was that?
No, they won't.
Not everyone will show.
No, not everyone will show. That's exactly right. But at least no one will be excluded either.
So it's the same list that we surveyed.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Any suggestions on the panels? I would bump it up to 7 rather than 5 because I think there's going to be an interest in participating in stakeholder interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Total of 14.
This may be a simple way to do it, but you could each nominate 2 people.
Oh, there you go.
I defer my 2 nominations to the local experts.
I have a recommendation with respect to the interview panelists, if I can speak. So I feel that being the executive director of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency requires a competent understanding of planning and processes and procedures, and I wanted to recommend Arlo Stockham as an interview panelist. Most of you are probably aware, but for those that are not, Arlo successfully led our regional plan update in 2012. He's worked as Reno's community development director and most recently has consulted with TRPA to review our code and permitting procedures to inform improvements. And so I feel like his experience leaves him well positioned to evaluate the candidates from that planning perspective, their qualifications with respect to TRPA's role as a planning agency. And I'd like to suggest that we at least extend an invitation to include him as an interview panelist. So I just had 1 recommendation. I haven't thought about a second one.
Yes. Yes.
What?
I'm fine with Steve Teixeira, if that's everybody else's. So, someone from TARC, someone from...
Well, Tahoe Fund, Amy Berry, yeah.
Okay.
If we're going to have to receive each other.
Sure.
I'm certainly open to it. I was looking at a number of our agency partners as being important, but I didn't know if they should be at the reception or a panelist, right?
So for my clarification, we're talking 2 panels. Are we talking 2 very distinct panels of subject matter experts that are
Because to me, that inform. I mean, if we're looking for like a panel that's going to really talk about, you know, what's your community engagement, what's your skills in raising money, and are we going to have another panel that's talking about what's your regulatory experience and how have you managed through that? Or are these identical panels asking just free form, but just we broke it up into two groups of
Steve
two. Those are two different things.
Steve suggested they be mixed.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, I asked Steve about this in my interview, and he suggested integrated panels provide the best mix.
Right, but not focused on any particular subject area. There's just integrated panels that are just general topic as opposed to, because to me that does kind of narrow in, you know, and I agree we need a planner and we need 14 is not a lot of people. So I just want to make sure we're touching on what we're trying to get out of these panels. And if these are really two panels that are basically doing the same thing, it's just easier to break it up into two groups. I think that's good. I just wanted to make sure that we're not looking for specialized interest, because that does influence who I would think.
I don't think they need to be redundant. I mean, Arlo could be represent the staff, Darcy, the environmental community, Lisa, the shared business community, Amy, Harry, from Prosperity Center.
And Heidi.
Heidi
Durham.
No. I think she's a good candidate. Can we go through all the list? Because the other thing, what about the Forest Service,
yeah,
Eric? Right. What about Jason from CTC?
Yes.
And then I look at a couple members from APC, our Advisory Planning Commission. Kevin Drake's been very interested in this.
The visitor service groups.
The visitors.
Tower Douglas.
Right.
Well, somebody from the public yard. Someone from the public yard.
Huh?
Wait a minute. We don't have.
You're only at 9.
We start
going.
Throwing these things down, but well, the visitor bureau seems like
Carol.
Carol would be good. And then,
Andy Chapman.
And that was Andy, yeah, because he, yeah.
Okay. And we said Forest Service.
Now, you don't have any local.
Who from the APC is on that? Is on our.
You have. Well, I was looking at Kevin Drake was one I was going to nominate. He's on APC and he's okay. A citizen planner. Yeah.
And I was thinking you may want. I'm thinking Stephanie, Joe Irvin, people like that. You may. Mm-hmm. It's up to you all, but you don't have a city or county person.
Yeah, but I mean, all the members of the APC will be.
Brendan.
The
event.
To the
reception.
Yeah, yeah. But I think at least one should be on the panel.
So I would say Brandon.
Brandon. Would be good.
And then should other employees be on the panel? Should we pick up, leave a couple spots for other employees of the agency?
Well,
I mean, they'll be at the reception, but it seems like a seat at the table is important as well.
Should Wendy be on the panel? Yeah. What do you say, John?
Who do you have? I'm sorry.
Wendy, as one of our panels.
Sure.
From staff.
And then Shay, would you be the other? Or?
Okay. I was thinking Shay was with us, but that's sure. You guys
might go out of existence at the end of this meeting if things work well.
Cool.
Well, that's true.
So, a couple of thoughts, and I don't know what number we're up to. And I agree with, I'm glad Cindy, you point out some of the agency folks because those are critical. You mentioned Jason with CTC, totally agree. If we're going to do that, we're going to need, I would like to see Charlie Donahue, who runs the Nevada side of the EIP. Mm-hmm. I also, you know, kind of think about all of the work and the huge stuff regarding TMDL and modeling and things like that. So we didn't really mention Lahan or Lahan's counterpart at the Division of Environmental Protection. So I don't know where that fits in. I don't know who's head of Lahan now, but if we did NDEP, it would be Jennifer Carr, who's also an APC member.
Mike Plaziak.
My light's on.
No, I said Mike Plaziak is the head.
Oh, Mike Plaziak. I thought you said Mike. Mike here. Mike. I'm like, wait a minute. Mike, please.
Mike Plaziak.
And then, and this is,
you know, that there is a, there seems to be a hole, and I don't really know who the person would be, but I'm, when I'm thinking about some of the underserved and disadvantaged communities in Tahoe, like the Latino Chamber, or I don't know who that group would be, but I just don't know, but somebody that's really plugged into the communities, you know, whether it's the chamber in representing, I don't know who the group is ever, but I do think that there's a hole regarding, you know, sort of the underrepresented communities, yeah, and who that person would be. I don't know.
I think someone from one of the tribes is kind of critical. It's their land.
So I have, it looks like I have 17, and I'm sure I missed a couple. So would you like me to go back through them? Marlo Stockham, Darcy Collins, Luke Feldman, Steve Tashir, Charlie Donahoe, Amy Berry, Carl Hasty, Eric Walker from Forest Service, Jason from CTC, Kevin Drake, Carol Chapin, Brendan Ferry, Andy Chapman, Wendy Jepson, Shay Navarro, Mike Blaziak, and somebody from the tribe. So that's more than enough.
It is too many. I'm still concerned about like the diversity. Right? It seems.
Well, you certainly could drop Wendy and keep Shay. Not playing favorites here, but Shay's more familiar with process.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's right. Okay.
Members of the disadvantaged community, so maybe that's something staff can recommend.
Can I make a process suggestion?
Sure.
You guys come up with names. Don't take an action identifying who they are, because we haven't asked them yet. And if they can't, then we're going to have to call you back and have another meeting to reset the list, since you would be taking an action. So what I suggest is that you make suggestions and leave it to your team over here to get, you know, 14 people out of that list with well distributed of interests and represented communities, et cetera. And then, so you guys don't have to go through the pain of give it to John and Steve and Angela.
I think that's what our intent was, okay, is to give you a roster of people we thought should be invited and let you winnow that down to a reasonable number.
Perfect.
That's exactly what I thought you were doing.
Yeah. Okay. And earlier,
no, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And earlier during the transportation, there'd been quite a bit of outreach that staff had been doing with various groups. That through that process, they maybe have somebody from the underrepresented communities that could they would recommend. I can name some from North Shore, but the idea that they would drive to South Shore and spend a day, and yeah. So I think it should be somebody from South Shore community.
So Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle might have a name, or there might be a Latino organization here.
Enough North Shore people on the list?
If Kevin made it, and Amy made it, and Andy Chapman does both, Steve, does, you know.
Anybody else you want to add to the list in case some don't show up?
I had one question. I feel like the last time we met, there was a comment that was raised, maybe about the stakeholder interviews, and it was the Lakefront Property Owners Association, and I just wanted to ask if they were one of the stakeholders that was interviewed.
She's not on the list. Jan Driscoll.
So if they're on the list, they received an email survey.
Yeah.
From everything we know.
She got added to the list for the survey, so she should be invited to the reception.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
It'll be the event of the year.
We don't want to miss it.
That's right. That's right. Event. That'll discourage people from coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
No further recommendations.
I think we've got about 20 here, so we'll.
Okay. Surprises. I'm sorry.
If we don't have enough, you can fill in with other people at your discretion, I would suggest, just to give you ultimate flexibility.
Okay, my brothers and sister will be flying here.
Knowing okay. The intent of this group.
So I know Bill is anxious to go. He has a long drive home. So,
far as this is going.
We'll conclude this portion. I think he's probably staying at his home on West Shore, right? No? Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, then let's move along. I think we've exhausted that subject, so we're going to move on to item number 4. I did find my cheat sheet. Committee member comments. Any member of the committee wishing to make a comment? Yes, Cindy.
My only comment was, great job. Thank you for all the hard work.
Thank you,
Steve. This is a tedious process, especially given the open meeting laws. This is nothing. I've never been through anything like this. So thank you for your leadership on this.
Yes.
And then did we need to take public comment on the last item? Was my only other question.
Well, we're going to have a general
action.
There was no action. It was just a recommendation. So.
Okay.
But I'm certain if people want to make public comment,
they can do it at the end, coming up.
About the membership.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Are the panelists?
Seeing no further committee member comments, we'll move on to our last public comment period. If any member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please raise your hand now either in person or by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. There's no one in the audience here, so Catherine, anyone on Zoom?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have one hand raised. Mr. Flaherty, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Thank you. I know it's late. I'll be very brief. So I was a little unclear. This is just a statement, and probably John Marshall will be able to inform you on this. But I was unclear that the interview process with inviting agency representatives precludes anyone from the public from being able to be in the room or to be on the actual, I don't know if it's going to be an electronic call or not. So I just have a concern because it was not clear to me as a member of the public listening to this conversation. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Flaherty. Would you like to clarify, John?
Yes, as I understand it, all the interviews will be in open session.
Does that clarify things for you, Mr. Flaherty?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you for your comment. Any further public comments, Catherine?
Madam Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, all right, then we will close public comment. Is there a motion to adjourn? All right, we have a motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.